Good morning and welcome to another Lord's Day, another opportunity to worship together. Looking through Facebook here, I know there's a lot of people that have already joined and we're excited about this worship service. I know we're excited about this topic today. I'll go ahead and spoil that for you. We are going to be talking about the idea of being eternally excited, and we put that with a question mark because we have to ask ourselves this today. Are we indeed eternally excited? Are we excited about what Jesus has done for us? Last week being Easter, we talked about the resurrection. We talked about serving a risen Savior, or a Savior that has defeated the grave. Thank goodness that tomb is empty. What are we going to do with that this morning? So before we really enter into our worship service, we're going to be led in a song. And as we come back from that song, Terry is going to open us up with scripture reading and prayer. So happy that you're here this morning, and hope you enjoy this service together.
What a great song. I know we say that every week, but we appreciate Steve May, who picks out our song service for us each and every time we gather, not only when we're assembled here, but even through this virtual time of worship. And I appreciate Robert Stevenson and Theo Blankenship very much making things happen for us. And again, we couldn't do this just you and me. I mean, we'd be doing it just on our phones or something.
Scrambling.
It wouldn't be bad. But we appreciate all of you joining us. We've already looked on there and saw so many people joined already. And we want you to keep being here with us, participating with us, but also if you want to go ahead and share it so as many people as possible. Last week we had over 4,000 people watch our service on Sunday morning, and then we had 2,700 people watch our service on Wednesday night. And so God is good, and so we want to, even if people are only watching that for 5 minutes, hey, that's more than they're coming here. So we want to encourage people to keep sharing. But we do want to open up with our thoughts from where we were this past Wednesday night. And I want you and you all to know that Justin and I, our plan for this through Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, we went through the crucifixion of Christ. And then last Sunday, of course, being Easter Sunday, we spent our emphasis on the burial and resurrection of Christ. And like Justin said in the introduction, now it's time to either gaze or be excited. It's either time to look around dumbfounded, starstruck, or it's time to roll up our sleeves and go to work. And so we want to now talk about those apostles and the acts that they did as we lead through this next series of lessons together. And so in today's lesson, we're going to be in Acts 1 and 2. But before we get there, I want to go back to where we talked about in Romans 8 for our scripture reading today. Romans 8, 37 through 39, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we live that way, we're living excited about eternity. And so as we begin this morning, let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful to be gathered in an assembly, Father, whether it be some in this room, but many around our city, around our state, around our country, dear Father, and even perhaps around the world in other parts. And Father, I'm thankful that you have given us this opportunity that to remind us that the church is not this building, Father, but we can assemble together. But Father, I pray that we'll never lose the zeal and the excitement of being together. Father, I pray that no matter how long this pandemic lasts, and Father, we pray that an end is very soon, but Father, I pray that we will not get too used to being apart, that we will want to gather. But Father, we are thankful for the excitement that we have on this podcast or on this live stream today. Father, I pray that you will bless us as we continue to hear songs of praise to you, as we remember the death of your Son in just a few moments. Father, as Justin and I open up your word and the excitement that happened in the early church, and Father, I pray that that excitement will carry over to us, to each and everybody that's listening today, and each and everyone that will listen as we share this and encourage others. Father, I pray that we won't gaze, that we'll get busy. And Father, I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for the church worldwide. And Father, we're so thankful that You are in control. We're so thankful that You are sitting on Your throne and Jesus Christ is at Your right hand. Father, I thank You for George and David and the lesson that they brought to us on faith earlier, for all the other classes that will go on today. And Father, I pray right now that we'll rid ourselves of distractions and that we'll focus on You and our worship to You. Thank You for all that You do for us. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we're going to have the song.
Coming to this communion table, essentially, is not a time for us to reflect on how great You are. It's not a time for us or for me to reflect on how great I am. But it's actually a time to reflect on how merciful God is.
That's right.
We aren't here to look back on or consider the great things that we have done to clean ourselves up, to cleanse the mess that we've created. It's an opportunity for us to recognize that despite our efforts apart from Christ, You and I are absolutely nothing. When I was younger, and I believe this for everybody, when we were younger, we probably thought that as we aged, we would conquer sin. We would get over the temptation. We would be done with sin. But now, as I've aged, and I'm sure some of you have too, we may realize that sin may actually have a greater grasp on us than ever before. That could be the case with some. This is exactly why we need this cup. It's exactly why we need this bread. It's exactly why we need this time of reflection, this time of communion. It's why we need a Savior. It's why we need Jesus, and it's why that I'm thankful for what our Savior has done for us. I'd like to read this to you. I ran across this interesting paradox, maybe, between the two emblems. The Passover meal was a relatively short celebration. It was one evening and one meal. Two parts of the meal that we're concerned with here are the bread and the cup. The bread was to be unleavened, that is, without yeast. Yeast is a bacterial culture that, when mixed in correct proportions, will cause bread to rise. It becomes a living product. Opposite to that is the unleavened bread, a dead product. This represents Christ's broken body. Now contrast that with the cup. Juice is alive. It has a bacterial culture within it as well. We know that wine has a specific recipe to cause it to ferment. But even grape juice will begin a fermentation if left out for a few days. The law of Moses tells us that there is life in the blood. So in this communion, we can see the symbolism as we shift from a lifeless bread to a living juice. The Lord's Supper is about moving from death to life, remembering that through Jesus, we died to our old worldly selves, our earthly selves, in order that we can live anew in our new, with our new godly bodies, our as righteous beings, so to speak. I believe we need this weekly reminder, this opportunity for us to remember the awful price that was paid, that Jesus Christ came and died for us, knowing that He took our place on the cross just to make us have a new life, make this new life for us possible. And it's only through Christ that we can live. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this bread that represents Christ's broken body. Obviously, we know that Christ's bones were not broken, but His body was beaten. It was mutilated on our behalf. Father, thank You for being the cleanser of the mess that we've made. Thank You for allowing us an opportunity to be forgiven, to put to death our old earthly selves, to live as a new creature. And Father, as we partake of this bread, I pray that we will focus back on the cross, focus back on the events leading up to the cross as Jesus' body was being beaten for our behalf. Father, thank You again for the great sacrifice. Thank You for Jesus and His willingness to die in our place. And I pray as we partake of this morning that it can be done in a way that pleases You. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
As Justin reminded us about us doing this every week, not only do we need to remember what Christ has done, but we also need to remember that as Christians, what He has done for us is the whole reason of our existence. Without life, we'd all be dead. It's what gives us life. And it's His blood that gives us eternal life. And so as we now gather to remember and commune together, as we partake of this emblem, this juice that represents His blood that was shed on the cross, may we always remember that it's that blood that gives us the Christian life that we have. Let's pray together. Father, we again come before Your throne thanking You for the sacrifice of Christ. Father, we know that without the shedding of His blood, there is no sacrifice, there is no remission, there is no hope for us, there is no forgiveness. And Father, as terrible as it was for Jesus to lose so much blood, not only on the cross, but throughout that entire tragic, horrible scene, Father, we rejoice as Christians because it's that blood that purchased our hope. And Father, as we partake of this cup today that reminds us of His blood that He shed for us, may we never forget the sacrifice of Christ and what it took to make us free, to make us pure, to make us Your children. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
We've also been given this opportunity to give our own sacrifice. We're expected by God to give. We have, thankfully, avenues to give even in this time of pandemic. I want to remind you that certainly you can go to an app on your phone. You can go to our church website and look up ways to give online. Certainly, if you still write checks, that's okay too. They can be dropped off. Some of you have already done that. I hope you've already written your check. I hope that's something you've already purposed in your minds and in your hearts that you're going to do. But if not, maybe here's a great reminder. Here's an opportunity for us to give back to God's work. Surely we know that this pandemic has created some distance between all of us, some challenges. But God's work and the work of this church is still continuing. And we need to make sure that we still can help fund that, right? To give back, not to men, but we're giving back to God, and our elders and the men of this congregation have laid out a budget and ministries that we still are going to support and carry out. So here's a great opportunity for us to give back to God this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the blessings You've given us. I know we're facing some challenging times. I know our economy and some of us in jobs are facing some challenges as well, maybe being laid off or furloughed or just even a loss of job. Father, I pray that You will help us to remember that it's important to give. That it's important to give back to You each and every week. Father, I pray that we will purpose in our hearts. I pray that we will give in a joyful manner too, not in a begrudging manner. Father, I'm so thankful for the blessings You bestow on each and every one of us. I pray that You'll continue to bless us. Father, just as Jesus has sacrificed His life for us, I pray that we can sacrifice our lives for Him. Father, I pray that You will help us all have the proper mindset at this time too, knowing that the material blessings, the money that we have is all from You. And Father, I pray that we can all give back at this time. Thank You again for the blessings You give us. I pray that You'll continue to bless us and help us to seek to serve You with all of our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We here at Azalea City started this pandemic with the hashtag expect the spectacular. And I am still expecting the spectacular because it's God.
Yep.
Spectacular things are going to happen every day. And that's what is happening. We're able to see things that are going on, whether people have come to know Jesus through this, to submit their lives to Him, through baptism, to get closer to Him, to renew that flame, rekindle that flame that everyone once had. What I do hope and pray is that excitement that we have right now. And it's pretty cool because when you get on Facebook, and I know those who are watching live stream, you don't have this opportunity, and that's okay too, but But those on Facebook are able to comment. And so when you see everybody saying, I miss you and great to see you and everything else, that's exciting.
Yep.
And there's a lot of excitement going on. And I hope and pray that when the government says, yes, you can go back and you can, your life is back to normal, that this place will fill up with hugs and excitement. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it will. But then 2 weeks down the road, 3 weeks down the road, 4 weeks down the road, I hope that that excitement is still here.
That's
because
right.
There's nothing more exciting than being a part of God's forever
That's
family.
Right.
Now, I've been a part of exciting things, and you have too. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Chris that's on here from Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
really
when we
cool.
all went on that trip as a family out there, and I'm going to give him a shout out at Gobblers and Grunts mm-hmm. out there, and they took such good care of us. But that morning, you know, we were in the woods, and to hear those turkeys gobbling mm-hmm. on roost, I mean, there is nothing that kind of gets your heart
right.
up in that moment like that. And those who've been know what I'm talking about. Or maybe it's, you know, especially when we hear the news that our wives were expecting, and then we hear that cry for the very first time, and that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it could go on, and it may be, you know, something that excites you. Maybe it's going fishing, or maybe it's going out on a walk, or whatever it is. There's a lot of things that excite us in life. But I want you to know, you take your most exciting moment that you've ever had in your life, and we've all had exciting times. Whatever that exciting moment was pales in comparison to as exciting as it is to be a part of God's forever family.
No question.
And that's what our lesson today and our lessons will continue to build
That's right.
from here. Our theme this year is focus. And so what Justin and I are trying to do is take a time of fear, a time of anxiousness, a time of concern. We're trying to take all that where our minds are scattered and we're pulled in so many directions and bring our focus on yeah. what really matters.
Yeah, one other thing is there about disappointment, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago of how the disciples were disappointed that Jesus was supposed to, actually last week, where Jesus was supposed to be resurrected from the grave and they just couldn't see that. You talk about trips, and you and I were supposed to be on a trip
yeah,
with Bubba
right.
and Toby as well coming up this week. Well, a lot of, because of the challenges of this pandemic and this time, things are changing. There's probably disappointment for everyone, but I think it's important to note as we study Acts chapter 1 and 2 this morning, that what God plans to do,
yep.
nothing can stop that, right? God's intentions are always going to be carried out. We can see from the very beginning of time, as you've said so eloquently up here, that ever since God created man and woman, Satan has slithered in and tried to divide the family, tried to divide the church. He tried to put a stop to God's plan. All through the Old Testament, we can see various ways where Satan, where people tried to put a stop to God's plan, but yet Jesus Christ still came. We can see all through the gospel accounts of how people tried to put a stop to Jesus. But guess what? He still died. He still was buried. He still resurrected from the grave so that you and I can have hope. Nothing can stop what God intends to do. Absolutely nothing. I think also through this, we're going to find the importance of prayer. We're going to find the importance of unity in God's church.
Right.
Right. And us as a community of believers, as a congregation together, we need to not miss that point, that prayer and that unity, even though we're distanced right now, there comes a time we're going to get back together. Prayer and unity are some things that we can just not miss.
And on that note, when Justin and I were talking about this point, I've said it a lot, but you hear people all the time, especially with us as we coach and,
mm-hmm.
and we're around different teams. What do we say as coaches? There's no I in
That's right.
team.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be selfish is what that means. But I do want everybody to know that there is an I in unity.
Sure.
And for us to be united, it's got to start with me.
Yep.
And it's got to start with you. And so we've got to make a decision that, hey, no matter what the devil throws our way, no matter how much Satan slithers into our lives, we're going to be united.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be together. It's that old song, you know, and I know Justin and I are violation of 6 foot and all that. Not as much as we were at first on Wednesday night. We were about 6 inches apart then. But if I were to lock arms with him, and we're just locking arms, we're not touching hands, and we were to say, Red Rover, send mm-hmm. whoever right over, well, Justin and I, we've got enough competitive spirit about us that we're not letting anybody through, are we,
no,
buddy?
No.
We're going to give it our... Well, that's what we've got to do as the church. We've got to lock arms and say, Red Rover, send Satan right over.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting through. He's not penetrating. That's what they did in Acts.
Right.
And that's who we've got to be. When I hear people say, let's get back to be the early church, folks, that is some awesome
mm-hmm.
talk, and I hope that we will live up to it. So let's get into it. If you have your Bibles or you have your devices or your computer screens or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I want us to read together Acts 1 to set this scene, verses 1 through 8. Listen to this. Luke writing now, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I love that he did before he even taught.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them. Now, please understand the scene. Jesus has died. We talked about that
mm-hmm.
two Wednesdays ago. He's been resurrected. We talked about it last Sunday. And now he's appeared back for 40 days. Now, it's only been 7 for us.
Sure.
But in our minds, in our story that we're telling,
mm-hmm.
Jesus has appeared back. Now, he's with his disciples,
mm-hmm.
his apostles
yeah,
now they've become.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, that's again the apostles, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Justin, I think right off the bat, right here,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to be excited now, and we'll talk about gazing in just a moment, not gazing out into space, not just like, what do we do now? If we're going to truly be excited about eternity and excited about the church, the very first thing we must do is tap or plug into the power.
Yep.
Just a moment ago, you had to plug your computer in.
Sure did.
Because the battery was going low. You're like, oh no, my battery's going low. And so you plugged it in,
mm-hmm.
and real quick, there's a plug down here. Justin was able, and again, we take this for granted every day. He plugged into that electricity that powered his computer, that gave his computer
mm-hmm.
power. It gave it charge. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said it this way, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the, here it is, power of God unto salvation. If I'm going to be excited about Jesus Christ, about when they say, hey, come back together, if I'm going to be excited about gathering again, if I'm going to be excited about telling people about, then I've got to plug into the power. Now, they plugged into the power, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We've got to plug into the power of God.
That's
We've
right.
got to submit our lives to Him and tap into that power.
I love, like you pointed out there in verse 1, that Jesus began to do and teach. I think that's a great point, that He did first and taught later. I think you and I can teach through our actions as well. But in verse 3 there, where He spent time with His apostles, He spent 40 days with them. He didn't just raise from the dead and say, all right, guys, see you later, good luck, and pat them on the back. No, He spent time with them. I think that's very important. Matthew chapter 28, where He is commissioning all of us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them the things that I've commanded you. He ends that there with, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the
Correct.
Age. Like, Jesus Christ is not going to leave us behind. God is not going to leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is the exact same way. We need to make sure that we tap into that power. I see here in these two chapters, I've got a couple points in each, and I know we have a lot of points really together, but we're going to see through the Acts of the Apostles, through this entire book, and maybe we don't get the opportunity to teach
right.
the entire book in this setting, but we're going to see that Jesus' work is going to continue. Jesus doesn't just ascend into heaven and it stopped, right?
Correct.
We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes, but Jesus' work is going to continue. And I think here in the second verse that we see two different instances through chosen men, okay, through those whom He chose, and also through obedient men. I'll read verse 2 again. Until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen.
Yeah.
Right? The NLT reads this way, that he had chosen apostles and then gave them further instructions. Like, we need to make sure that we're chosen. We've talked about that. We're this royal priesthood, a
right.
chosen generation, a people for God's own possession. Like, we are chosen people. We talked about that in Romans chapter 8 on Wednesday night. But also, we need to make sure that we're obedient through this time. Listen to the instructions that Jesus Christ has put out and then go and preach those. Right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, once we do all that,
mm-hmm.
we realize, hey, He chose me. He picked me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I want to submit my life. I want to plug into Jesus Christ, and I plug my life in. Well, that means we can't do what they're doing next.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they're told not to as well.
Sure.
I'll go ahead and read that.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. Now, when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up. Now, don't get me wrong. That'd be a pretty remarkable
thing. It would be scene. Amazing. For
sure. Jesus Christ has stood here, and He's been with them, and now He's leaving them. And so there's a lot. Remember, He tells them in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And He says, hey, I'm going to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm coming back. So He's told them all that right here. But they're standing there and they're like, there He goes. There goes Jesus. But I'm afraid that some of us, and I'll get into this more, or standing there and watch Jesus go. But He didn't leave us. We left Him.
Yeah.
You know, we left our first love. Anyhow, let's go back to it. And so He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. You know, from here we draw the point. By the way, David and George made this point in Bible class this morning. Are we gazing? You know, again, they're kind of wrapped up in the moment, and nobody's really there to kind of step up or what have you, and they're just kind of looking out into space. Now, think about what's happened in their lives. I know there's some sadness, but they just watched their best friend die, but then come back to life.
Nope.
And He stayed with them for 40 days. As amazing as that was, they were sitting around thinking, kind of twiddling their thumbs, what now?
I agree. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the last thing I was going to say there is, sometimes that's us.
Yep.
These great things are happening all around, and we're just kind of twiddling our thumbs like, what now?
In verse 10, the NLT puts that they were strained to see Him rising into heaven. So it's, to me, I don't know, I don't want to try to take too many liberties in that, and I don't want to over-explain this, but as they're gazing, I know they're standing in amazement, but it's almost like they're leaderless again. It's almost like,
right.
Well, Jesus is gone, what now? So I'm just trying to continue to strain to listen, like, God, what do you want me to do now? Right, and these two men come and say, hey, quit standing. Jesus is going to come back. You've got to go and be these witnesses.
Right.
It is time to get off the couch, get off the bench, and go to work. That part, to me, amazes me. And I think we really set the tone for the rest of the book of Acts in verse 8. And I know you read it a minute ago. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1 through 7, we see that the gospel was spreading through Jerusalem. They were spending their time there in Jerusalem. Love how this breaks down. Acts 8 through 12, they spent the time, the gospel spreading through Judea and Samaria. And then 13 through 18, as we know, Paul's missionary journeys and so many others there going along with him, that it spreads to the ends of the earth. That's really cool how Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 sets the tone, but I think it also sets the tone for us.
Yeah.
Right? That hey, some people say, don't take these liberties here and call Jerusalem your church and your community. Whatever. I think
right.
we certainly can reach out to our church, our community. We need to make sure we're focused on what's around us, our families. We need to make sure we're focused on our congregation. Then we can keep spreading that out and make sure we're doing our part. Not just staring into heaven, gazing into heaven, standing in amazement at what Jesus has done. Certainly there's a lot to be amazed at and about, right? But it's time for us to get to work.
That's absolutely right. You know, when couples come to me and they need marriage counseling from time to time, what I'll tell them is, first thing I'll ask them, is this marriage worth saving?
Hmm.
I've never had anybody say, no, it's over. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that were the case, then I'd be like, we're not going to waste our time.
Right.
They always say, yes, our marriage is worth saving. I'm like, well, then let's roll our sleeves up and go to work.
That's right.
Because if it's worth saving, it's worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom is the greatest cause we have.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity is exciting, especially when we think on the heaven side of it, right?
That's right.
Then it's worth fighting for. It's worth working for. And so we got to roll our sleeves up and go. And that's exactly what they do.
That's right.
Because in the next few verses, and I know we're kind of getting through this, but we've got a lot to get to.
Yeah.
And this is exciting mm-hmm. to Justin and I, and especially now as our preparation's able to be rolled out
True.
To all of you and to challenge you like it's challenged us. But the next thing we do is we see them in the upper room. Look at Acts 1, 12 and following. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The first thing they did to make sure that the kingdom stood the way it's supposed to is they got on their knees.
That's right.
And for us, if we know a storm is coming, what do? We prepare ourselves. You know, the weatherman talks about hurricanes coming. Well, I mean, obviously this pandemic came and people went and really overboard bought toilet paper and you know, hand sanitizer and, you know, everything else. But when a hurricane comes or a storm comes and the weatherman says, get ready, people go and buy water in case they don't have water and, you know, all these things and they get ready. Why? In case that storm's coming.
Mm-hmm.
God said to Noah, hey, Noah, rain's coming, a flood's coming, build a boat. Noah didn't sit back and be like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He went to work. Well, once these angels tell them, hey, quit looking. Go to work. They went and got on their knees.
Sure
and
did.
We need to be in our knees. This is launching into mm-hmm. the deep stuff, letting down our nets and expecting the spectacular.
Yeah, they were with one accord, so they're kind of the same mindset. They devoted themselves to prayer. We talked about this a few weeks ago in Romans chapter 12, that we need to be constant in prayer.
Right.
We need to remain in prayer. And, there in verse 12 as well, in verse 14, they were one accord devoting themselves to prayer and together. Again, don't miss the importance of having a great prayer life and having fellowship together in the life of the church. Those two things, as I said in our intro, those are important and we see those here in these couple of verses.
That's right.
Right? You want me, I know 15 through 26 is a lengthy reading. Maybe
yeah.
we won't read the whole thing.
Sure.
But I think it's very important. We'll read the first few verses because we're going to catch something here. Starting in verse 15, in those days Peter stood among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field, and with reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Alkodama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who accompanied us during all that time, the Lord Jesus went in and went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us. One of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. I know I read most of that there, but again, we see Peter standing up, Peter rallying the troops there in the upper room. Hey guys, listen, remember Judas, he had this share in this ministry with us. Well, he went out and did his own deed, okay? And as unfortunate as it is, we're going to have somebody take his place. Like, again, I love the aspect that it's Peter. I know we're going to talk more about this in chapter 2, but the aspect that it is Peter who stands up and rallies the troop, the one who, other than Judas, was as low as you probably could get,
right?
Who stands up to start to lead the disciples or the apostles.
Yeah, I think there is a great compare-contrast between mm-hmm. Peter and Judas. Really, what they both did was very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were both deniers of Christ. They both sold him out. Judas sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, but Peter sold him out for safety of his own life.
Yeah.
I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Even cursed and said, I don't know the man. And of course, you know, the rooster crows and all that. And we'll get to more about that in a moment, like you said. But here's my thing. It's almost like the rest of them are still kind of dumbfounded. Maybe they're still catching up in the prayer, but at the amen of whoever led that prayer, Peter speaks up and says, hey, we got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we got to do, we got to replace Judas.
Yeah.
So they ultimately replace him with Matthias, which teaches us how people were apostles back then, of course. And so with that mindset, what I want to challenge us to do through all of this is all of us to have Peters. If we have everybody out there that says, hey, I'm going to be Peter, I'm going to step up and I'm going to take charge, then guess what? There are going to be things that get done.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have people take action. And that's what Christianity is. It is about being active. It is an active faith that leads us to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peter's doing. He says, hey, I'm ready to get going.
Yep, absolutely. So let's jump now to chapter 2.
Yeah.
That's all right. So we've pretty much finished up chapter 1 there, as you said, Matthias being chosen. So now we'll get into chapter 2, and I'll read the first 4 verses for us. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I see there again in chapter 2 and verse 1, they were all together in one place. The importance of unity, the importance of being together. Like the technology that we have, the opportunity that you and I get to stand here in front of a live stream camera and reach out to, you said, 4,000 people every once in a while. Again, people that are given the opportunity to at least listen to the message of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget how important it is for us to dwell in unity.
Right.
Let's not forget how important it is for us to be together. I'm so thankful we're able to be together in this platform and on this format, but let's make sure that when the government says and when this pandemic ends, that we don't get too comfortable. I know a lot of people are comfortable sitting on their couches, in their recliners, dressed however you want to be, and that is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when it's time to get back together, I know Azalea City is going to, I mean, like, we're going to have to open the doors probably 45 minutes early because everybody's going to be flooding in, ready to high-five, hug, handshake, all this stuff. Let's make sure that when we get that opportunity, let's not become too comfortable in this format.
That's right.
That we continue to sit on our couches, right? That we continue to just recline in our chairs during Sunday morning worship. No, let's get here. Let's build each other up and encourage each other and support each other with love and serve God together.
And I'm going to take it a step further. Just getting here, don't still sit in your seats and recline and
right.
Be like, hey,
sure.
I'm going to watch other people do it. I'm just going to gaze. No,
yeah.
We got to be Peter. We got to take that initiative and we got to get up and we got to get active and we got to get involved. Some people might be thinking, hey, you know, I can't wait to get back because I want to do this and this and this. Don't lose that zeal. Don't lose that. That's what this is about, being eternally excited. Don't lose that excitement. Because I'm going to tell you, man, there is a lot of excitement that happens in Acts 2 and following. And we got to carry that over. Again, when I said in the beginning, you really want to be like the early church? Okay, I'm glad you do. Then let's get excited.
Right.
Let's do what they did. It was their life.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything they did. And the first thing they did, now, please understand, they tapped into the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them that when the power comes, that power is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That He was going, they were going to be baptized, He was going to come, and He was going to immerse their lives. And they did. Now remember, Jesus has gone. And Jesus couldn't do the miracles anymore, and they're bringing in Christianity. So they needed this miracle, this miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit today, but we do have the Spirit. We talked about it in Romans chapter 8. And of course, we've looked at Galatians 5 as well, which fits perfectly in Romans 8 as a better breakdown even of what the Spirit does. But if we go to Galatians 5 and tie it into Romans 8 and Acts 1, and we live the mindset of, hey, if I'm going to be Spirit-led, then I'm not going to sit around and be a spectator, because Paul said we need to produce fruit. Well, the first fruit we got to produce is love. Now, the love fruit is a pretty cool fruit.
Yes.
You know, it's an amazing fruit. It is the best fruit we as Christians can produce. Because when we slice into our love fruit, not only does love outpour, but so does joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All these other fruit juices, if you will, comes from the love fruit. And so we need to make sure we are led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, I put on here, and I know it just goes right along with this point. Like, if Jesus' work is going to continue, I told you there's 2 points in Acts 1 and 2 points in Acts 2 here, through chosen men, through obedient men, but also through Spirit-filled men. We have to be filled with the Spirit. But not in a way like these men. In verse 4, it says here, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They weren't doing it in a way that was out of control, right? They were very controlled in it. They were able to speak in tongues. They weren't spitting out gibberish. No, they were speaking languages that people understood.
Right.
Okay? But that is attractive, right? The multitude came together. They ran to go see what this loud noise was. And when they came running, they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken there in verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 7, they were completely amazed. See, we need to be Spirit-filled people, Spirit-led people, in a way, not that we're out of control, but that we're enthusiastic and it's in a controlled way, not in a way that we act out, but where people can be amazed, people can be magnetized to us because we're full of something or we have something that they may want.
That's right.
How can through this pandemic, how can you be so excited? How can you be, well, let me tell you, because I'm led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the miraculous healing power of the Spirit, so we wouldn't have a pandemic, right? We wouldn't have hospitals. We wouldn't have need for physicians, okay? But anyways, we need to make sure that we are, in a sense, controlled, but also understand that in verse 8, in verse 9, in verse 10, 11, and 12, we see that these people are so fired up about it. There are others. There are always going to be naysayers.
Right.
Verse 13 says, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, oh, they're just drunk, that's all. We're always going to have somebody that's trying to pour water on our flame, right? Or to, what was the lesson we heard at Creekwood years ago about watering their weeds, right? There are people that we always joke about. There are always going to be naysayers out there. There are always going to be people that ridicule us,
right?
And if we're true Spirit-filled people, we're going to do nothing but tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, tap into the power of God, tap into the power of the gospel, and continue to preach that.
Yeah, heroes are an important thing, I think, as we develop our lives and our lives evolve, not in the sense that evolutionists think our lives evolve, but our lives keep unfolding before our lives. You know, when we were children, we probably all had heroes. You probably had basketball heroes and football heroes and baseball heroes, and I did too. And, you know, even working out, I remember as a child thinking, man, Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you could be as big as that guy, and he was a huge guy at one point in time. But, you know, man, that would be, and so there's all kinds of motivation that people want to have, but our greatest heroes are those spiritual giants in our lives. And I can remember the more I became faithful that I wanted to have the faith and the Bible knowledge of my grandfather. And you know, and you said it earlier, we want to model that life. We want to be like that person. That's exciting to know that somebody has a faith and a zeal that's so contagious that I want to be like that person. And that's what you're talking about with that Spirit. And kind of just to give everybody, to summarize a little bit here, Justin's already done it for us, but when he says in verse 13 that they accused them of being drunk, the reason they thought they were drunk is because they were speaking in their own native language, and everybody who's gathered on this day of Pentecost is hearing them in their language. You know, and so it was an amazing thing. So if I was talking in English and you were Spanish and you were hearing me in Spanish, or you were Ukrainian and you were hearing me in Russian and I was speaking in English, then there's a phenomenon going on there. And so they're like, well, I don't know how to explain it. These guys are drunk. But Peter.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But Peter. Verse 14 now of Acts 2. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you and heed my words." That's one of those chilling, chilling introductions to me. I think about Peter, and I think about his zeal. And I think about Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, Jesus Christ changed Peter. You know, he said, "Peter, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter because you're a rock. You're a rock that will stand and you will fight and you'll do this. And I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom." Now I know those are spiritual keys, and he gave it to all of them there. But we think about Peter, and Peter had this great responsibility to open up the doors, if you will, to the kingdom and let all these people come in to know Jesus Christ. And that's exciting. But along the way, Peter lost his zeal. He lost it because of fear. He lost it because he didn't want to be caught. He didn't want to go through what Jesus is going to go through. And so, "I'm going to deny the man. I'm going to deny knowing. I'm going to deny everything about him." And John 21 happened. In John 21, we were in John 20 last week, but in the very next chapter, Jesus has sent for Peter, and Peter's out fishing. Maybe because Peter doesn't know anything else to do, and maybe that's what takes his mind off of it. Maybe he just says, "Hey, I got to get away from this." He's feeling guilty. Remember, he's wept bitterly. He's so down. He's so low. And he's out fishing. He's probably sitting there thinking, "I blew my chance. I blew my opportunity." But then Jesus shows up on that shore. And Peter doesn't wait for the boat to get back in. He jumps off. He swims to Jesus, has breakfast with him. And Jesus asks him three times. Remember, he denied him three times. He asks him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Every time it was, "Yes, Lord, I love you," he said, "Feed my sheep." And in Acts chapter 2, Peter's excitement is renewed. And I say that to say this, there may be some people who are listening today who were excited at one time, but along the way life has happened. Maybe you've even denied Jesus. Maybe you've even nailed Him to the cross and you lost your excitement, but now you're excited again. Well, I want to encourage you. You're just like Peter. We're just like Peter. Don't lose that excitement. But Peter is very significant in Acts chapter 2:14.
I kind of put a note here just to remind myself, so it begins, right? So this is the time that the church is going to be established. The church is going to come together. These apostles are going to really, like you said earlier, roll up their sleeves and go to work. I love Peter's leadership here, right? He needed this in his life to step up and show that, hey, listen, I have been probably worse off than any of you. This Jesus whom you crucified, I've helped out with that essentially. I denied the man. No, let's step up and go to work. At some point, I think it just starts to click. It started to click here with Peter. I think it may be in chapter 1, you see a little bit of it, but now here in chapter 2 and verse 14, it starts to click. And I know maybe as a coach you see that, maybe as a teacher, some of you will certainly relate to this. Maybe a kid is struggling at maybe some kind of drill in football or baseball or basketball practice. Maybe it's they're struggling in the classroom of whatever, whether it's math or English. We talked about sentence structuring and all went tonight because we're real big scholars here.
Yeah.
whatever it is, I think at some point in the life of a coach and a teacher, maybe even as a parent, you see like, oh, it's starting to click with them now. As a youth minister, I see that in teenagers. Like that's, to me, the greatest thing of youth ministry is watching a kid from the sixth grade, essentially sixth, seventh grade, who is awkward because we're all awkward at that stage. They're trying to figure out where they fit in the youth group, where they fit in their group of friends, where they fit in the church, in their life. And then as they grow and become high schoolers and maybe really juniors and seniors, you start to click. And I've got kids in my mind right now. Like, I watched it click. And it was one of the greatest feelings. Like, that'd give you chills. And I think in the life of Peter, this is starting to click. And I think in our own lives, if it hasn't clicked yet, we need to allow it to click. Hey, Jesus rose from the grave, but it didn't just stop there. Stop staring into heaven, standing amazed. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's get to work. I talked about this maybe a couple summers ago. I found this article of this basketball coach in Brooklyn, New York. I believe it's Wingate High School. So if you remember it, sorry. Here's a repeat. Okay, as he is assembling his first team practice of the year, he brings everybody together, he takes the basketballs off the rack, and he hands everyone a basketball and says, "Gentlemen, this year I want you to improve," right? Every coach would say that. "I want you to improve, I want you to figure out in your mind where you can help the team." And for the first few minutes of practice every day, I want you to go to that spot on the court where you fit in. If you're a post player, go to the paint. Go to 10 feet and in. If you're a guard, work on your three-point shot, right? And as he rallies the troops there, gives them the basketballs, he sends them away for the first few minutes to start perfecting their craft. And there is one kid that runs to the end of the bench. He sits down, he grabs his basketball, and he starts throwing the basketball up to the goal from there. Now, smart aleck, that would be me, right? And I've certainly been there where I was a bench player. I didn't get off the bench very much, right? And we can see that this kid probably knew he was the last kid off of the bench in an actual game. But I think you and I allow that contentment to filter into our Christian walks as well. Well, I'm no use, or I just don't have the talent, so I'm going to sit on the end of the bench, and I'm going to kick back, and I'm going to watch the action. No, Jesus Christ, with Jesus, every one of us is a starter. Every one of us has an important role on the team. Like, get off of the sideline, get off of the bench, and get into the action.
Peter stood up, but so did the other 11.
That's exactly right.
It wasn't just Peter.
He rallied the troops.
All of them stood up.
And we see through the lives of all of them, like, most of them, if not all, died a martyr's death, right?
Right.
Like, they went to work and they understood. Finally, again, starting to click the entire time that Jesus is with them, they see him risen, but they really don't perceive or understand what's going on. The two that walked with him on the road to Emmaus had no idea he was standing right in front of them, right? We cannot miss this. We've got to allow it to click in our lives. It clicks with Peter. It clicks with the other 11.
That's
and
right.
It's really awesome to see the church grow through that.
Well, it's not just the 11 that it clicks with, or the 12, I should say, because Matthias has been added to them. It's going to click with about 3,000 of them. Now, I won't go through the entire sermon of Peter, but you should. There's a lot of great information in Peter's sermon here, and I would encourage you to go back and read it and study it for yourself. Peter preaches what we call the gospel to them, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we say this is the very first gospel sermon because it is. He preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want to take you to verse 29 when he really gets into this. He says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David." Now, this is a big deal because they revered David. David was king of kings in their minds. He was the greatest king Israel had ever had up until Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, "Hey, let me speak freely to you about David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." In other words, as much as you think about David, we can go to David and we can go to his tomb and his bones are going to be in there. David's remains will be in there. Verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, I want you to know through this, there's an awakening coming. They are going to hear those words. It's going to resonate in their soul. It's going to prick their hearts. And they're going to say, "We just killed the King of Kings." This stirring, this realization that they murdered the Savior of the world is going to bring an awakening in them. Awakenings are, in this case, it was a bad thing that they killed Jesus. But them waking up from it, boy, that's going to bring a lot of excitement. Awakenings spring excitement.
Yeah, how about this time of the year, yeah. Right? Where finally, and it's been that way for maybe a month or so, we kind of had a quick spring because of the warm weather and all, but the trees eventually, I'm not going to get too technical here, but they have to go through all these chilling hours essentially. And when they reach that threshold, once that first bout of good weather comes, of warm weather comes, they start to burst out the leaves and the flowers, those buds breaking out, right? When they start this process and they develop these new leaves and this chlorophyll allows them to photosynthesize and they draw this energy in from the light, they convert it to sugars and gives them great energy. It gives the trees this burst of growth where you see these buds starting to elongate and grow to the sun. Like that's a basic, simple science lesson that all of us can learn as Christians, that when it's time to grow, when it's time to flourish, we need to open up. Right? We need to convert the light energy, the energy from the SON sun that we get, and turn that into energy for us to grow closer to God, for us to show our abundant colors, right? How about this? I thought about this on the way in this morning. I've never thought much about the spring equinox, okay? But during the period of the equinox, or the spring equinox, the hours or minutes of darkness equal the hours or minutes of light in a day. Okay, that was March the 19th, exactly 1 month ago. Our school shut down on March the 16th for the most part. Some of them went to the 19th. That was that Wednesday. All right. Spring brings energy, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Like there is something spiritual inside of just the spring equinox because we have this energy, we have this excitement. From the equinox forward, the period of light in a day is greater than the period of darkness in a day. Like, I fully believe that God is going to make something work out well and for His glory during this pandemic, right? He didn't bring the pandemic. We've said that many times, and I fully believe that. But God is going to allow it to be used for His glory. If this pandemic would have happened in November, right, when we get to the fall equinox and we get to where there's more darkness in the day than there is light in the day, and we see this death or dormancy all around us with the leaves falling off of the trees and the grass looking terrible because it's essentially dead. I don't know, but I believe there'd be a lot of people. We may all be in a depressed state of mind. But thankfully, God at least saw it fit, I believe, to bring it in the springtime, to bring it when the amount of light in a day is greater than the darkness. So that you and I can go out. You see all these people doing these spring projects, right? The repainting of the houses, the cleaning the flower beds, the fixing the yards, the doing these projects with families. And I believe we can say thanks be to God for that.
Yeah. And Justin, I think your point is very valid there. I know for me, I've spoken so openly about my depression. And of course, Madeline and I are putting little videos out each and every week because I still think people are struggling with their depression right now, their anxiety because they're shut in, they're not able to go, they're not able to get out, maybe they've lost jobs, maybe they've had reducing income, and so there's a lot of that going on. Now, I will say, for me personally, I am clinically depressed, but then I have seasonal depression as well. The fall/winter time is way harder on my psyche because of that. It gets darker early, the days are short, and you know, you think about people. There was a time when I thought my identity lied in my football team winning. And so I'd have this depression. If my football team didn't win, I'd dive deeper and deeper down because I thought my identity was that, and that was really silly. But all that to say this, what if the days were shorter, football season was canceled, like basketball season, baseball season, all these things, people would really be struggling. And so, yeah, I do see God being in control of this still. And so here we are in this springtime with awakenings. And so I want you to awake. I want us to be awake. I want us to rise up, to reach for that sun, to reach for that time that we can grow and we can produce and we can be the best Christians we can possibly be.
You know, Jeremy puts a comment here on Facebook. I know we're not really trolling this, so to speak, to see, but it says here that God will turn Satan's mess into something spectacular. And you use this hashtag, expect the spectacular. I know Jeremy said on here before that Think about how many people are spending time in God's Word, how many people are worshiping together, how many people are attending Bible studies because of the convenience of it, because of the technology that may not have ever done it before. Like, thankfully, I love sports just about more than anybody, but thankfully there are no sports. I have barely watched TV in the last month and a half. I think it's a great thing because I've been far more focused on my family, far more focused on my faith, far more focused on growing closer to God. And I think you and I can make sure we use this pandemic as something that's going to bring the church closer together.
Yeah. All these things happen because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Yeah.
Peter tells them, this is the climax of his sermon, hey, you had this king, David, who you revered, you loved. He's dead. He's in a grave. He's waiting on the resurrection, right? The resurrection of his soul, if you will. And so Jesus Christ, though, the King of all kings, He lived among you. He dwelt among you. He taught among you. He healed among you. He walked on water among you. And you killed Him.
Mm-hmm.
See, everything we have is possible
mm-hmm.
because of Jesus.
Right.
His death, that they killed Him, became possible for them to wake up,
yep.
to come out of their slumber. So, what do? They stop him in verse 37, and they say, hey, now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How we get this nasty sin off of us? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. There is nothing more exciting than having our sins washed away.
Yeah, and you and I need to allow our hardened hearts to be broken, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what Peter was preaching to these Jews here, like, hey, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, you just read it. They were cut to the heart.
Right.
Their hearts were broken. They were, what in the world is going on? What can we do to get ourselves redeemed? How about this song that we sing is, be to our God forever, right? Or be unto our God. In a verse in that says, we the redeemed shall be strong in our purpose and in our unity, declaring aloud praise, glory, wisdom, thanks, honor, power, and strength. Be unto our God forever and ever. You and I need to make sure that we allow our hearts to be broken. Remember that we are predestined. We have been called. We cannot forget this great promise that we have through Jesus Christ. That is an exciting thing. And because of that, we the redeemed shall be strong in our purpose and in our unity.
Justin, apparently there's some technical difficulties going on. And you know, the devil doesn't want this message to be out there. That's what it boils down to. People are talking about how our faces, we're apparently having some very classic, get our faces frozen and arms stuck in the air and things like that. But don't miss this point. There is nothing more exciting than having our sins washed away.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it gets us to the end of this.
Yep.
And so what we'll do, I don't know if it'll come back. I don't know if it'll go smoothly or not. But here's what I want you to understand. I want everyone to understand. The 3,000 that walked through the doors of the kingdom that day had a zeal and excitement and fervor that you could not ever, ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to be the early church, then we got to do the things that are exciting at the end of this chapter. Justin, you want to read verses 40 through 47 for us?
Yep, sure will. Starting in verse 40 again, Acts chapter 2. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. For those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Justin, just to close out, and I think we're having a lot of problems and all, but I hope this gets out there. I saw on there that somebody said AT&T, Comcast, and Facebook are all having problems right now.
Gracious.
Maybe we're crashing the internet with good things. I don't know. But I'm going to give you what I think are four things. What is he saying?
We're just up and down. Just roll with it. Maybe
just roll with
live
it.
Stream.
Just roll with it. All right.
Live stream is still good.
The thing is, we got a recording going on. We'll try to put this back out when it's all said and done. But there are four things to close out that there's excitement in the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's excitement in this early church. And if we want to truly be like the early church, and I agree, we should. We've got to be like the church of the Bible. We've got to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
Here are four things to help you. Number one, we got to be saved. We got to submit our lives to Christ. There's nothing more exciting than that. Number two, we got to be in the Word, and we've got to be devoted to it. They were gladly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued daily in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't do it begrudgingly. They were excited about it. And we've got the Word, and we've got to be in it. Thirdly, we've got to be together.
Mm-hmm.
That fellowship time, that time that we can enjoy one another and be. And this is going to end one day, and we're going to be back together. And we can't lose that excitement. And then fourthly, we got to continue to do great things. We got to continue to launch into the deep. We got to continue to let down our nets. And we got to continue to expect the spectacular to happen. What happened? When they did that, God added to the church every single day those who were willing to be saved. You see, that's where growth comes from. That's how the church will flourish and will continue to be excited about the growth.
You mentioned four things there, and I'll finished up with my fourth point. I think of Jesus is going to continue. Jesus' work is going to continue again through chosen men, through obedient men, and this is women too. Chosen men and women, obedient men and women, Spirit-filled men and women, and also men and women working together. This idea of unity that we keep bringing up. That song again, we the redeemed shall be strong in our purpose and in our unity. This deep sense of awe came upon them after, at least Luke mentions here, after they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. As a 3-year-old, Grayson wants his sister to share everything with him. And if she doesn't, he'll always get into this little whiny fit like, sharing is caring, right? I don't know where he heard that from, okay? But sharing is caring. And think about this in the life of the apostles. Here's what was important to them. Serving the needy, worshiping together, opening their homes and sharing meals together joyfully, not grudgingly, not like I used to be as a kid, like, why are you drinking all the sweet tea and taking my gummy bears, right? Like, you can't be mad at your friends or people you invite into your homes for eating your food when you offer it to them. They were doing these things joyfully. And after that, and because of all those things, what a great end to it. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
That's right. I hope that you're excited. Justin and I think you can probably tell. We were excited about this lesson. We're going to continue to be excited about the things that happen in this book. Because I do think it's a time to refocus. I think it's a time to get back to the basics. It's a time to be like the first century church. And if we're going to be like the first century church, we cannot lose our zeal. No matter where we are, no matter how long it takes to be back together, we got to get back together. And we got to turn this world upside down, just like they did. We do want you to know that if you do have a need, you can call us. If you feel down, if you need to be prayed with, if you want to just say, hey, I'm ready to get this spark going and I'm excited and I'm ready to quit crucifying Jesus Christ, then you come on and you call the elders, you call us, and we'll be glad to pray with you on that. But if, hey, you might decide through this, hey, I want my sins washed away. Don't wait. Don't wait till the pandemic's over. Give us a call. We'll make it happen. I got a pool. We've got pools around and we can get you in the water and make that happen. But we do want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. We're glad you tuned in. Share our message. I think it's running pretty smoothly now. I'm not real sure. But even if it's not, go ahead and share it. And please let others know how much we love them and how much you love them as well.
You may close us in prayer. And then I know we'll have a few final announcements. Oh, well, let me go into announcements here. I'm sorry. Remember that the classes we've already had this morning was 8:30 was George and my dad sitting up here. I know that's on Facebook. If you missed it, you can go back and watch that. I know one-to-one had a class at 9:15 this morning. Teenagers will have our class at 12:30 today. JYG will have our class at 1:30. Roadrunners will have our class, or y'all have. I may be able to participate in there too at 5 p.m. tonight. I record all of ours for teenagers. If you've missed them or if you haven't been able to join for whatever reason and would like a class, I believe I have all of them recorded. I'd be happy to send that out to you. Just again, record, I think it's on an MP4 format from Zoom. And also want to remind you that this coming Sunday, we're going to try something. It's going to be Sunday evening. We're going to have our first area-wide devotional, complete virtual area-wide devotional. University Church of Christ was supposed to host this month. Wisdom's been working hard on getting the lesson from the speaker. There's going to be some interactive activities that we're going to do through that. So it's going to be very interesting. Okay, we're not going to join together, but we're going to have that, I believe, through Zoom. So more details to come with that, but that's
people
very exciting.
People are wondering what an area-wide goes on, and everybody could.
That's exactly right. Hey, yeah, church, I'll send the whole thing to you. So you can sit there with your teenagers, or you can sit there if you would like to and watch that. It's going to be really cool. I believe it's going to be periods of singing. Again, there's going to be a lot to work out. It would be strange, but it's really awesome that they're going to go ahead and do that.
And you may have mentioned this. I may have missed it, but don't miss Shipwrecked.
Yeah.
That was our activity for our Outdoor Bible Children. Mm-hmm. Ashley and Justin put that on. You can go to Azalea City's Facebook page and log on. It's on a YouTube channel there. And so watch that, participate in it. Yeah. And again, I think we have something for everyone. That's our goal in this.
That's right.
We want everybody to be fed and be fed multiple times.
Yep.
You know, hey, listen, for me, I participate in the 8:30 class. I'm able to be here for worship. I have the 5 o'clock class. I'm able to listen to your class with Bo. And so again, I like being fed.
Sure.
So don't not be fed.
That's right.
Because that's what keep our excitement up. But we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, let's close in prayer, and then I believe we'll have a song right after this. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the excitement that a Sunday brings to those who are in Christ. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to serve you because of Christ. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to inherit eternal life because of Christ. Father, I'm so thankful for Peter and the other disciples, which later became apostles, and their devotion to spreading your word throughout all parts of the earth. Father, and I pray that we can take the baton from them, that we can go about running our race and passing on the great message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to other people. Father, as we're going to listen to a song and sing along with a song here in a moment, help us always to remember that not for a moment will you forsake us. Father, you're always going to be there with us. All we have to do is make sure that we draw near to you, that you're always close by. I'm so thankful for Jesus who bridges the gap between us and you and our iniquities that have separated us from you. Father, help us to always cling to you. Help us to resist the devil. Help us to submit to you. Thank you again for the blessings you give us. I pray for this pandemic to end very soon so that we can join back together in this building, worshiping and praising your name. Father, I pray for every single member, every family. Help us to say safe and healthy. Help us to continue to grow closer to each other, and most importantly, closer to you. Thank you again for Christ, and I pray these things through his name. Amen.